Christmas. Who loves Christmas? And I get so excited because I'm trying to look at the time. Okay, look at my time. Good. Because we get to talk about Jesus. And who knows, without Christmas, there is no Easter. Come on. So, you know, one miracle begets another miracle. And so I'm just really excited about what the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. I don't plan on going very long. But I want to share with you, I want to unpack a message that I believe the Lord gave me that I personally am going through. I personally am holding on to this message. And again, I just want to share with you and invite you to go on a journey with me because I don't believe this is a message that can be fully unpacked or taught or explained or expressed in one sermon or even a series. But I believe these are essential tools and understandings that we need to have in our Christian lives and our walks with the Lord. Amen. So let's go before the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you, Jesus, for each and every person in here tonight that you have ordained to be here, Lord God. You have set a purpose, Lord God, for each person to hear your word, to receive a touch from you, Father God. I pray that no one leave this place the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to jump through a couple verses and I'm going to share a thought because you know, again, there's like a buzzword. There are a few buzzwords that we can get here at the church. You hang around long enough, you're going to hear some cool buzzwords, or I shouldn't say buzzwords, some staples to Christianese talk, right? Or the language of us Christians. Can I get an amen for the Christianese language, somebody? Amen is always one of those right there, right? Hallelujah. But another one that I believe that is vital to what we speak, what we feel, what we know and understand is that of expectation. All right, who has high expectations for the message here tonight? I know that I do. Turn to your neighbor and tell somebody my title. That is Tiptoe Expectation. Tiptoe Expectation. You know, tiptoes can mean a lot of things, right? I think of tiptoe expectation of, you know, when you're on your tiptoes, you got to be ready to go, right? If you're in a race, you start a sprint on your tiptoes, you have to be ready to go. If you're a boxer, you got to be on your tiptoes. You never know. You got to just be ready. But as a believer, as a Christian, we always have to be on our tiptoes and we have to be expectant of what God wants to do. I know that leading up until tonight, leading up into really what we do as a church, as a body, to be expectant that the Lord is good is just, man, I wouldn't want to live any other way. Otherwise, it's just religion. Otherwise, it's just going through motions. If you go to church not expecting God to do something, then you've come to a place, I'm not judging you, that you've come to a place that maybe you want to just kind of stir yourself up inside, because we should be going into, whenever we walk into a church building or a church setting, we have to believe that God's going to do something. Otherwise, we're not believing that God has power. And we're just walking in a building. We're walking into some walls where they're going to play some music and some person's going to go up and talk. And then we're going to leave and just go about our day. But unless we're expecting the Lord to do something, then, you know, we really got to reevaluate that tonight. So what I want to do is I want to go with the idea. Okay, so we're going to look in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, if you would go with me. Don't put it up just yet. Luke chapter 3, let me set the stage here. We have John the Baptist. Everybody know John the Baptist? John the Baptist, the actual cousin of Jesus. Luke, we're here in the Gospels. Now, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And so 400 years has gone by. 400 years. Our nation, the United States, is not even 400 years old. But 400 years has gone by since the last time there has been a prophet or a word or direction from the Lord. So you have the Israelites, you have the children of God who are essentially directionless. They've gotten a voice and they're trying to cling on to what the last directive, the last words from the Lord was, because there's just no fresh word. There's nothing that, no new revelation that has come to pass. But in Malachi, there was a prophecy that there would be a prophet that would come before Jesus would come again, right? Before we would see eternity. And so what happens is you have people who are clinging on, who are waiting with tiptoe expectation of what they need to know for them as a people to be able to go on in the things of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here we are in Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist, 400 years has gone by. They can look around. You know, not unlike us today as a nation, we can look around. We can see things, man, wildfires and signs of the time, so to speak, and all these crazy things happening in the world around us. And it seems like we're in a godless nation, a godless time where people are just going to hell in a handbasket, if you understand the idea, right, the concept. So here they are. The people of Israel, 400 years, and all of a sudden a man, John the Baptist, he's coming and he's telling people to repent, for the time of the Lord is coming. And so what does that look like? So all these people are like, wait, he's using some language. This guy's doing some cool things. This guy is talking about the coming of the Lord. So with that expectation, they're saying, hey, John the Baptist, if we could pick it up in verse number 15. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. And they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah to come. And so they were eager to know if John might be the Messiah. Is it John? Is this the guy that we've been expecting? Is this the guy that we need to have come so that we can fulfill the promises that our ancestors have told us about? It's been 400 years. My grandfather's 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 grandfather told my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-dad about this thing that had to come. And so here we are clinging on 400 years later. Are you him, John the Baptist? Or just John, you know, then JB maybe. I don't know. JB. Like, are you the guy? Are you the guy we're talking about? And so what I want to share with you tonight is the idea of expectation and what that means. Because the following statement I believe is so profound in that, and it's not my quote. So, you know, the following quote that I came up with is so profound and it's so going to bless you. No, expectation is the birthplace or is a breeding ground for miracles. Expectation is a breeding ground for miracles, meaning that we have to have expectation. Imagine an incubator of miracles for our life that we have to plant seed in. And if we don't have expectation that it might happen, then those miracles, those blessings, those things that we need, those essentials that we feel like we have voids in our life, and what's going to fill that, those miracles that need to take place need to start with expectation. So tonight, as we look at the idea of expectation and birthing miracles and blessings in our life, I believe it's important that we fast forward to today. And we look at where we are as a generation, where we are as a nation, where we are as a people. And it's not difficult to look around and see that we are a people in need. In need of a Savior, in need of Jesus, much like the children of Israel back in the time of John the Baptist when he was preparing the way for Jesus. We can see all these things happening around us. But my question for you today, young person, my question for you today, young man, young daughter of God, is, are you expecting something to happen? Or are you walking through life, going through the motions? See, so what happens with expectation, right, is it gives birth. So you see a pregnant woman, right? You see a pregnant woman. She's glowing. She's happy. Well, what do we call that pregnant person? We call them expecting, right? We use the term, oh, they're expecting. You see someone's pregnant. Oh, great, you're expecting. When's the due date? So on and so forth. And so that's the term that we've come to know. Why? Because they are getting ready to birth a miracle, the miracle of life. Right, life is a miracle. They are birthing, they are holding within them a miracle that's soon to happen, and they are going to be birthing that miracle of life. They're expectant. So when we think about ourselves and our lives, and the trials, the tribulations, our everyday lives, are the occurrences that happen to us, I challenge you to ask yourself, are you approaching that with expectation? You know, expectation comes from standards, right? They're almost synonymous, almost one and the same. But sometimes we have set a standard. You know, you have set standards. For example, the Rock Church and Wood Outreach Center Sunday morning has service at 9 and 11. We know, because the standard has been set, we're going to start on time. Right? So you can expect that when you come at 9 o'clock, church will have started. You can expect that when you arrive at 11 o'clock, church has started, right? Because there has been a standard that has been set, so it allows you to create an expectation within yourself, right? You get on the freeway at 5 o'clock, you can expect what? Right? You can expect traffic. You turn on ESPN, you can expect sports. That's right. You turn on Coast 103.5, you can expect some Christmas music. Come on, somebody. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know other times of the year, but during Christmas, Coast 103.5. Sorry, I lost it. There's that little gap in my, maybe you can teach me a little bit, Jaden. You can expect some Christmas music because the standard has been set. I was looking at this article of the most Christmassy cities in the nation, right? And they were going through just the different, for example, on Manning Street, there's like the light show, right? Well, so it's taking the most Christmassy cities in the nation. And I was reading one of the articles about one of the cities, and they were saying that it started with one family that put up some Christmas lights, and they went all out, right? They went all out, this husband and wife, they decorated their house. Well, then the next year, it kind of sparked a competition within the neighbor. They wanted a one-up. Well, it kind of just expanded and expanded and expanded. Well, it became a standard that they were going to do their Christmas lights, and now the expectation is that they're going to have some Christmas lights. So people come to this neighborhood. People come to Manning Street expecting to see some lights because the standard has now been set. So I think within our lives as young people, as we're figuring out our lives, right, in this age group specifically tonight, there's a lot of a give in terms of maybe you just graduated from high school or you're, in the middle of that age. We're allowed at this age to figure out what the next step of our life is, what areas. But a lot of times and a lot of conversations that I have with young people is that the standard for some reason maybe on your life has been set rather low. And so your expectations tend to go right there as well. Maybe you've been told or you bought into the idea, hey, so you just barely graduated. So you can expect to have this kind of job. Or you struggled up to here, so you can expect to have this kind of life. Or you have this kind of finances, so you can expect to be able to do this and that. But the reality is we as Christians, as believers, are not to let someone else's standards become our expectations. Our only standard is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's standard lets us have our expectations in our life. So when we look at the idea that, where do we get our expectations from? They have to come from Jesus. Our standards have to come from Jesus. Only with those standards are we ever going to get our expectation to a level of the plans that Jesus has for your life. Because I'm here to tell you today that each and every one of you, I don't know each and every one of you. I might not ever know each and every one of you on a personal level. But I don't need to know that Jesus knows you and Jesus has a plan for your life. Can I say that again? Jesus has a plan for your life. A plan to bless you, a plan to use you, a plan to let you do something for good. Amen. Am I speaking the Bible tonight? These are things that Jesus has for your life. But the reality is too many of us allow the standards that the world has set to become our expectation. Too many of us has allowed the bar that have been set so low. You're just from San Bernardino. You're just from Colton. You're just from Riverside. You're just from this gender. You're just from that race. You're just from this side of the street. So this is your standard. So this is what you can expect. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a new standard and it's Jesus. And you can only expect great things from a Jesus Christ who died for you, who loves you, and has plans to bless and prosper you. Because that's the standard that Jesus has set. And only by that standard do we get our expectation. So a standard, by definition, one of them is a basis for comparison, right? So that once you kind of get enough examples, then now you have your standard set. So we can see throughout the Bible, Jesus in the Gospels, is that once Jesus started going out and doing miracles, so it could have just been a fluke. Jesus prayed for somebody and they got healed. But then what happens? He goes to the next village, the next town, the next village, healing people left and right. He healed everybody that he saw Jesus did. Perfect record. Jesus, anyone he laid hands on was healed or had a miracle in their life. So now the standard has been set that there's going to be a miracle that takes place. So now when you encounter Jesus, what is your expectation? That a miracle is going to take place. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus is in our life. He is available to us. So that means we can only have but one expectation, and that is to have a miracle every time we get with the King. See, but too many of us live in this idea, well, miracles, or I don't even know if I believe in that, and miracles sound like this supernatural thing. Can I tell you that you got up and you can breathe today is a miracle? Can I tell you the fact that the sun rises? Can I tell you today that in this day and age, the fact that we got into this church ground, these are miracles that take place regularly. We live in a miracle. We live through miracles. We don't even realize, instead of understanding the miracle that we are, we always focus on what we don't have. And look at that person's miracle. And my miracle doesn't look quite like that because my standard is right here. Their expectation gets to be right there. But I just believe in my heart so much. And the reason why I said invite you on this journey, because the journey that I've been on lately in my life is to know and to walk in the truth that I have access to Jesus. And in that access, I have access to walk out miracles. I have access to lay hands on people and they can get healed, that they can get changed, not because of anything I do, but because of who God is, because of who Jesus is and the standard and expectation that has now been set for me. He went before me, the Bible says. He went before me, he went before you, and he can set those standards up for you. It's just a matter of what you want to believe. It's a matter of what the path that you want to walk within. But the problem is we feel like we have missed expectations. But I had expectations. You know, three years ago this week, my wife Angelina, we were pregnant. She was pregnant. And we had expectations to birth life. And in the 10th week of her pregnancy, she miscarried the baby. And that expectation, that life was gone. See, but the standard didn't change. Because the same Jesus that allowed her to carry that life, to carry that miracle, is the same. Jesus didn't change. So if the standard doesn't change, my expectation is not going to change. See, my heart was broken. My wife's heart was broken. I don't even understand everything that she's gone through till this day. It's still a difficult thing to talk about. But the reality is the standard has not changed. Jesus has not changed that. Therefore, the miracle doesn't have to change. And today, can I tell you, I'm expectant to have another child. It's been 3 years and it hasn't come yet, but I'm expectant. You know what? I'm going to say, I'm expectant that this time next year, I'm going to have a child. I'm expectant that I know Jesus is the same Jesus that was in the Bible, that was able to heal, that was able to cure, that was able to cause things to change in an instant. That's the same Jesus that's alive in you and I tonight. And that same Jesus allows us to walk within the reality of who he is. And in the fullness thereof, the Bible says, I can live in the fullness of it. I don't have just limited, just a little bit of what Jesus had. We have, actually the Bible says that we can do even greater things than Jesus. So I don't have to be confined to denominational thinking and doctrinal ideas that some people think that miracles aren't for today. And I wonder if healing still exists. I'll tell you healing still exists because I'm healed. I'll tell you healing still exists because it's still happening all around us. I know I'm getting a little bit excited, but see, the devil tries to trick you up with pain, with letdowns, with expectations that have been stolen from you. Like that baby of ours, it was stolen. It was the devil's a liar, he's a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's not going to steal, kill, or destroy who I am or who I'm supposed to be. And I'm here to tell you that he's not going to do it to you either if you can stand up in the name of Jesus and understand who he is in you. Because it's not within your own power. If you look within our own power, you know, we would just cower down and let those failures, let those expectations that fell short fall away. But too many times, it just seems like one failure after another. One disappointed, one let down, one expectation that went awry after another. And now we have Antonio, you just said the standard was set. Well, the standard in my life, even as a Christian, has come down. It was disappointment after disappointment. So that's the new standard. No. That's not the new standard. Because the standard doesn't change once Jesus arrives. I can't explain away those situations, those letdowns. But I can tell you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to show you a scripture in the Bible. Everybody okay? The scripture in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me get it because I don't know that I sent it to you guys. My bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7. We'll go through verse 9. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So before you ever were, Jesus already knew for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Ear has not heard, nor have you even imagined the things that the Lord has prepared for you. Can you believe that? I'm in la la land half the time. I daydream all the time of all the great things that God can do in my life, in the life of my family. But to think in all that daydreaming, I haven't even imagined, hasn't even come into my mind. And I think like, woo, lofty. I'm lofty sometimes. I'm like, if I won $500 million, what the heck would I do? If I printed money, right? If I looked like, you know, if I was 6'8", really, come on, if I was 5'10", I'm only 5'7". Sometimes it doesn't even take much. But those thoughts that come into my mind, it hasn't even come into my mind. What lofty hopes have you had that seem lofty? God surpasses those. Can you believe that? The things that God has prepared for those that love him. I love that how it talked about. This is just a quick side note. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. Another translation, the wise people of this time, the people that, the experts of life, the psychologists, the doctors, the people who, the scientists who say they know this, this, and that, the wise people of our time do not know. Do they not fully, they don't fully understand, they can't fully comprehend the goodness of God and the plans that he has for your life. Nothing makes me more sad than a young than someone who has allowed their disappointments, failed expectations, other people's standards to rule and dictate who they are. It's so disheartening. You know, I think of a camera. I was looking for a new camera. It was potentially on Black Friday. I was going to buy my wife a camera. Ultimately decided not to because it was like $749. And I'm like, sorry, babe, that one that you have is just fine, right? All right. But it had all these cool bells and whistles, right? It had, you know, Wi-Fi directly to your phone and this automatic focus and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't know. It made people come to life. I don't know. It was a crazy, cool camera, right? All these gadgets and gadgets. But I think of that camera and all the bells and whistles that it has and all of its purposes and all of its capabilities and capacities. And then you give this camera to someone who's just going to take a shot, essentially do what a point and shoot, right? Not look, not aim, not focus it, just kind of like take a picture. And you think about the waste of the capability and purpose of that camera. And we think about the expectations that you would have if you gave someone that camera. I would expect that you give that to someone and who doesn't even know how to take a picture and it's going to turn out nice for that much money, right? Like that would be your expectation because the standard says this camera is this, this, and that. But imagine if you give someone a camera and they just don't even do anything with it. Or you get a nice expensive computer or a Ferrari or a car with all the bells and whistles and you're literally just going from here to there. And you never have it. What do you need a car that can go 100 miles for a mile an hour for when you literally only use it to go back and forth from, you know, up and down the street? It's wasted purpose. It's wasted value. But too many times in our lives, we don't understand the capabilities that we have. We don't understand the bells and whistles that Jesus has placed in your life because you've never seen them. No one's ever told you about them. In fact, life has told you the contrary. Life has said, you're a point and shoot. You're an iPhone. A 3GS, right? You're a 2-megapixel, like, camera. You're a point and shoot, and that's all you're going to get. That's what life has told you. So you go around thinking that's all I'm going to do, point and shoot. But you don't know that Jesus placed within you the Bluetooth, the Wi-Fi, all the goods, all the bells, all the whistles. He put those gifts inside of you for the purpose of taking a beautiful picture. What are you going to do with that? But those expectations, the standards that we've bought into now create us to, or allow us to only use up so much of it. I'm wrapping up, but I just want to share this other thought with you in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Is it really only 8 o'clock? Oh, 8:10. That one's off. Okay, Romans chapter 8. I think I have this one on the screen. Yet we suffer now. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. We're waiting, guys. All the suffering that maybe we've gone through in our life, all the challenges we've had to overcome, all the disappointments we've had to live through or try to live through. Some of us find ourselves stuck in disappointment after discouragement, after letdown, after broken heart, after letdown, after discouragement, after broken heart. But we don't realize, we fail to miss the second part of that verse. For creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal to his children who we really are. Because there is more inside of you. There is more inside of you than I can even see. I know all the leadership books will tell you as a good leader, you're going to pull out the best in somebody. So to try to do that, you try to encourage somebody. Say, hey, I'm going to believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. Right? You hear interviews of these great people in sports or business or whatever it might be. And most of them have someone that they'll tell you in their life, encourage them, right? And pull something out of them to be better. But I'm telling you, there is no better encourager than Jesus Christ. There is no better encourager than the one who went before you, who created you, who gave you all the gifts and unique special tools that you have within you to build his kingdom. But yet as Christians, we can find ourselves in places where we're not really walking within those gifts, within those tools. So my challenge to you tonight, the thought that I leave you with, I guess it is a challenge, the invitation to join me on this journey where we walk out our lives in the reality of who Jesus is, of who he's called us to be, not what someone said about us, not limited by the gifts and talents that we feel we have or don't have, but the reality of who he is. Because I believe if we step out, if we go expecting, then we're going to have an awesome outcome in our life. Because if we can go expecting for God to do just what he does, God, I don't need you to do anything but what you do. Do you, Jesus. Just do you. I'm going to step out and do you, and I know you're going to show up. That's my expectation. My expectation. And you know what? I'm not even waiting to 2018. Come on. Can anybody join me? In 2017, there are still 24 days left. Let's let these last 24 days be just as blessed, if not more anointed and great than the whole previous year. Because we don't have to wait till 2018. Oh, New Year's resolutions. That's great. I'm going to have some. That's cool. But let's have the expectation that these last 3 weeks can be so amazing that we can leave this place and meet somebody new, that we can go on into the job field if you're looking for a job and get that job that's going to be the start of your dream, that we can expect that relationship, that we can expect that disease, that cancer, that whatever it might be is gone. That we can walk in the fullness of who he said we are, not what we bought into ourselves. So tonight I want us to shed off any idea that we bought into ourselves other than what God has said about you. And unless he said that you are amazing, then that's not the truth. So let down that lie. Let's let that off. Let's shake that off and leave this place changed, because we can expect that God is going to do a real work. Because he is faithful to complete it, the Bible said. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He's not going to leave you halfway done. He's not going to get you saved just to, that's all I wanted to do was just clean you up and mend you up a little bit. No, I want to take you on to the uttermost. I got some awesome plans I have for you, son. I got some awesome plans I have for you, daughter. But you got to expect that I'm going to be there. Because an expectation is the birthplace of miracles. Come on. I feel like the Lord was telling me today that there are some of you that have, you're like right there. You've bought into who Christ is. And if you could imagine, you know, that oven, you got to kind of push in to click, click. You let the gas in and then that spark now lights it. So I believe you push that in and you turn and you've allowed the gas. Let this revelation of what expectation is be that spark that starts who you are going to be tonight. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's anybody. But I believe the Lord was showing me that there are those of you tonight who you know it. You know, like, man, I've been getting in my word. It's been coming more real to me. Man, I've been praying more. I've been reading my Bible more. And it's just awesome. God's been showing me these things about my life and speaking to me. And you just feel like you're on the cusp of something. I'm here to tell you that spark is changing and taking place tonight and getting ready to launch you. And that's why you can know that. You don't have to wait till next year for God to do amazing things, because it can happen from the moment you leave. Amen. I'll amen myself. Last thing, and I'm sure I missed something on my notes, but I know that God is good, and I expect that God's doing a work in you tonight. But the last thing, I just wrote it down because I just felt it so loud, an impression in my spirit, was the idea of stir it up. Because just like there's some of you who just needed that spark, there are some of you who have been stagnant. There are some of you who have come to understand who Christ is, and you've seen him do some cool things. But it's just kind of like laid dormant and stagnant within you. And I'm here to tell you, stir it up tonight. God knows who you are. Just get that little stirring spoon and get within you. It's okay. God's not mad at you. God loves you. God still has awesome plans for your life. Stir that gift up. Stir those gifts up within you. And let's get moving. Let's join this train of expecting what miracles are going to happen. I'm so excited. I have such an expectation about what God is going to do. You know, and it's not just about a church building or a ministry. But I believe here at the Rock Church and Outreach Center, God is getting ready to do some awesome things, as well as in an empire, in our city. And I'm so expectant that is going to happen. But I also know that in order for that to happen, we need to understand and expect that Jesus needs to show up, because our gifts and talents aren't going to make it happen. Because they can't. We can't sing good enough. We can't preach good enough. You know, you can't pay enough people to come into a church to create a move of God. You know, we could offer hundreds of dollars to whoever comes to church, probably fill up the seats, right? Have overflow and have, oh my gosh. But unless there's a move of God, unless God breathes on something, then it's not going to really take off. But I believe God's getting ready to do something at this church, in this region, in this Inland Empire, in this generation. Come on. And I believe that we can start something, but we have to expect. It's the birthplace. It's not just a cool quote. I really believe that. That is the birthplace. Amen. Come on, if you got something from the Word of God tonight, my prayer is that you did, that we can expect to leave this place changed. But what I want to do is I want to ask a question. Because I made a lot of reference tonight to the idea of the plans that God has for you. But I would be mistaken if I didn't clarify. See, because the reality is, as Christian, as people, we have access to a mighty God. But also another reality is that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. But only those who